great welcome to this wonderful Sunday morning service. Now, I know I'm taping this on Monday, but I want to tell you about revival happening at our church right now. See behind me? The sanctuary door is open. The lights are on. Welcoming you for tonight, 7 o'clock. All week this week, Monday through Friday, we have a wonderful young preacher. You're going to hear him preach on the cross right now in a moment, and it is a marvelous sermon. His name is Joseph Gans. He works with his father, wonderful preacher. He'll soon be in full-time ministry. I'm not sure how and where, but that's, of course, up to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. He's a dear young man, has a beautiful wife, two precious children. They're staying in our home this week. And so he's our guest on this Sabbath day sermon, Sunday morning sermon. I know it's not Sunday morning, but it's going to be Sunday morning for you as you listen to this message from a young man of God. Can't you imagine anything more precious than young men of God coming along, ready to preach the word and do the business of the King? I introduce you to Joseph Gans, Bartonville, Oklahoma. Bartonville, Oklahoma. I hope I said it almost right. Hey, God bless you. Joseph Gans, I hope he blesses your soul.
One more time. Amen. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. We confess you as Lord this morning. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your presence that is in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Father. We thank you for the Son. We thank you, Lord, for sanctification. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed hope that lies within us this morning. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it is such a joy to be with you this morning and excited about what the Lord has already begun for this week. And I want to tell you that I did not bring revival in my suitcase this week. I didn't bring it in my Bible. I didn't bring it in my pocket, in my handkerchief. I didn't bring revival with me this week. But I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is the one that brings revival. And I believe that when the fires of revival begin to start burning in a church, there's nothing that can put it out as long as there's at least one hungry heart that's seeking after the face of God. Amen. And so we're just believing for God to do great things this week. And you'll have to bear with me. I've been sick for probably about 6 weeks, been coughing, just now really starting to get over it. But you just pray for us this week and pray that the Lord would lay the things upon my heart that you need to hear, amen, that will benefit the church, and we'll give all the glory to the Father, amen. We'll give all the glory to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to be in the book of Luke this morning, chapter number 23. I want to preach to you about the cross this morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 23, one verse of Scripture. I want to combine two sermons this morning, a part one and a part two on the seven sayings of the cross. We'll not be dealing with all seven this morning for time's sake, but I've got three or four here that we need to deal with that I feel the Lord has burdened my heart with this message, and we're just going to believe the Lord to speak to our hearts. Aren't you thankful for the cross, for the blood, for what Jesus did for us? Amen. What an honor it is to stand in this pulpit and declare the Word of God to you during this revival. 12 years ago this month, Brother Gans, my dad, Brother Bruce Gans, stood in this pulpit and preached revival for the first time to ever preach in this church. And I want to say that it is an honor to carry on the legacy that the Lord has given our family. And all the glory and all the honor goes to Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse number 33. Amen. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to declare your word. God, help me to get this message across to these people as you have laid it so deeply into my heart. Lord, may we once again see a fresh image of the cross of Calvary. An empty cross, Lord, a bloody cross, and the reason why that cross was given to us. Father, we give you the glory this morning. We pray for an altar service. Would you reach to each and every heart that is here, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that's saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you're seated there this morning, keep in mind, I'll be preaching a message tonight on divine healing, and we're just going to be expecting the Lord to move in the service tonight. Amen. Amen. The place of the skull. That's what this word Calvary means. Golgotha. The place of the skull. It was a place of shame. It was a place of humiliation. It was a place of horror. It was a place where many had been crucified. And you can go through and study all of the different methods of crucifixion. Many times, not only would they drive a nail into the hands or into the wrist, but they would also tie around the upper arm to that cross. And so when the weight of that individual would hang upon the arm, the shoulder and the elbow and the wrist would all be pulled out of joint. It was a place of extreme, excruciating pain. It was a place that was not very fitting for anyone to even cast their gaze upon that hill. But I can tell you this morning that Calvary is there for us. Amen. The cross was all about the sinner. The cross was all about humanity. Amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The cross this morning is for you, my friend, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That cross was for you. That middle cross We can read throughout the Gospels the different accounts where they chose to release Barabbas. Amen. Barabbas was destined to die on that middle cross. Barabbas, who for sedition and murder had been cast into prison, was the one who was meant to die upon that cross. But we find that Jesus took the place of a murderer. Jesus took the place of a man who was rebellious. Amen. Jesus took Barabbas' cross. Jesus took your cross. Amen. Jesus took your punishment so that you might go free. Amen. The Bible says, "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Amen. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. At one point in time in our life, we have been rebellious against the love of God, just like Barabbas. He was rebellious. He was a murderer. No doubt his heart was filled with hatred for his fellow man. But that was the kind of person that Jesus came to give his life for. Amen. Jesus gave Barabbas something that no doubt Barabbas had never experienced before. Jesus gave Barabbas a second chance. Amen. Barabbas was meant to die upon that cross, but Jesus gave Barabbas a second chance. Amen. And can I tell you this morning that because of the cross, you have a second chance. You have a third chance. Many of you can testify of the times that you have turned away from God, but yet his mercies were new every morning. Amen. And it was because of those mercies we were not consumed. Amen. In the next verse there in our text, verse number 34, the first saying from the cross that I would like to deal with this morning, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. The cross was all about forgiveness. Amen. Not just forgiveness for the soldiers who had crucified him, who had beat him within an inch of his life. Just not forgiveness for those scribes and Pharisees who mocked him and said, "If you're the Son of God." Not just forgiveness for the two malefactors that were hanging on either side of him. But over 2,000 years later, in the year of 2015, the sins from then until now, and from now until the end of time, he made forgiveness. He said, "Father, forgive them." Amen. The cross was all about forgiveness for the sinner. Amen. Even though the Jews had rejected their Messiah, they rejected their day of visitation, even though they called out for his death by crucifixion, even though they parted his raiment and fulfilled the prophecies from the book of Psalms, even though they said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children," even though they mocked him as the Son of God, even though they trampled underfoot the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, even though Jesus knew a vast majority of mankind would reject him and forsake him, even though he knew many of us sitting here this morning would reject his overtures of love time after time, still in love, he said, "Father, forgive them." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. The cross was all about forgiveness. He could have allowed us to experience failure in our life, but yet he chose to give us forgiveness. He could have let us perish in the fires of hell for all of eternity, but yet he chose forgiveness for us. Amen. If you need forgiveness, you can find it at the cross this morning. If you need the hand of God upon your life to say, "I forgive," you can find it this morning. Amen. Amen. One old song says the sweetest words that he ever said were, "I forgive you." Amen. The cross is all about forgiveness. Amen. The cross is all about forgiveness. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, we find the prophecy of Psalm 22 fulfilled. Amen. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 45, we read, Jesus is hanging on the cross. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 45, now from about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now you can read in the book of Acts chapter 2 that Peter standing up, he said, this is but the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's the third watch. Amen. He said, this is but the third hour of the day. It was only 9 o'clock. And so we see that it was noon when the darkness came across the land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse number 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. You can see in the first saying from the cross that Jesus addressed God as his Father. He said, Father, forgive them. But here we find Jesus, he is not calling, he is not invoking the relationship between Father and Son, but instead he is invoking the fact that he was crying out in the stead of the sinner, my God, because you see, you understand with me that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. To whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so any person that calls upon the name of Jesus can then call him their Savior. But my friend, as we sang this morning, no matter if you call him Savior or not, he is still your God. I said there will come a day, as we sang, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so he cries out these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible tells us, amen, in the book of Habakkuk, he said that thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look upon iniquity. Amen. The reason why that Jesus experienced the absence of his Father's presence was because of my sin, was because of my failure. That's why the Father had to turn his eyes, because Jesus Christ bore my sin upon that cross. He was forsaken by his Father that we might know what it is to have fellowship with his Father. He knew what it was like to be alone so that we would not have to experience loneliness in this life. Did you know you could be in a crowded room, in a room full of people, maybe even people that you call your friends, but you can still feel lonely. You can still suffer from loneliness. You can still suffer from thoughts of suicide and taking your own life to your own self-detriment. But my friend, Jesus experienced what it was like to be lonely in your stead. Not so that you could just say that I have a friend, but that you could say, I know that the verse is true. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thou canst not look upon iniquity. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. Can I say it this way? For my iniquity, for my sin, he was forsaken by his Father. Amen. Because of the cross, you will not be forsaken. Amen. It goes much further. this morning than just the child of God being able to say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I can't tell you, sister, how many times I've stood upon that promise and rejoiced in the word of God when God began to provide for our household at a time when it was tight financially. God always came through, and I would stand upon that verse that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. But it goes much farther than that, my friend, because he didn't just hang on the cross for the child of God, but he hung on the cross for the sinner. Amen. Can I remind you this morning, sinner? Can I remind you this morning, backslider, that God has not forsaken you? God has not walked away from you. The Bible tells us that God is married to the backslider. He will not forsake them. Amen. After Peter denied Jesus, did Jesus forsake Peter? Absolutely not. Amen. You can read where he had a private meeting with Peter himself. And then they found themselves together on the seashores of Galilee. Amen. But Jesus did not forsake him just because he committed sin, just because he went away for a while and went back to what he used to do. That's all he knew. Amen. But Jesus did not forsake him. But he said, Peter, if you love me, then feed my lambs. If you love me, then commit yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. He was forsaken that we might have fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory.
I'm so glad that Jesus cried out those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the book of John, chapter 19.
John, chapter 19. We read another account of the crucifixion. Jesus is hanging on the cross. John, chapter 19, and verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now you see this in the book of John. This is the only account of this saying from the cross. John was the only one who gave account of this saying, I thirst. Can I remind you this morning that Jesus was a man as he walked this earth? Not only in the hypostatic union was he 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He knew what it was like to stand in a physical need. Amen. This morning, may I remind you that the cross was all about his fashion as a man. Amen. Although he was God, he was still a man. To go through life and to experience life with us. Amen. No wonder the writer could tell us that we have a high priest that is touched with that feeling of our infirmities. Amen. God became a man according to Isaiah chapter number 9. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Amen. The earthly priest, he offered sacrifice for himself and then for all the people. But Jesus came and was anointed by God and became that high priest. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2 that he was compassionate with infirmity. He didn't glorify himself, but he was begotten of the Father. Amen. And as a man in the Garden of Gethsemane, he put aside his human will. He put aside the fact that he knew he was going to have to suffer physically. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And by that, he became the author of our eternal salvation. Even though he was God, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered as a man, that he might overcome and triumph over the adversary. Amen. And show us that we as humans might overcome our adversary. It's all about his fashion, my friend. As a man, he hung upon that cross. As a man, he suffered and died. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. And for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him when he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He did it for you, my friend. He did it for you. He did it for you. He cried, I thirst for you. He cried out the cry, the desire for satisfaction. He cried, I thirst, and he tasted bitterness. He cried, I thirst, and they gave him vinegar on a sponge. He tasted the vinegar that we might enter into the veil of his presence. He tasted the vinegar that we might taste the victory that overcomes the world. He tasted the vinegar that we might find virtue and divine healing. When we ask, he tasted the vinegar that we would never have to experience a void and an emptiness in our heart. Amen. He took the bitterness that we might understand the balm that's in Gilead. He took the bitterness that we might escape the barrenness of joy. He took the bitterness that we might understand beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. He took the bitterness that we might become his beloved bride. Amen. He took the bitterness that we could once again obtain our birthright as the sons and daughters of God. He took it for us, my friend. He said, I thirst, and he did it for us. The cross is all about his fashion. Amen. Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He did it for you. He tasted that bitterness for you, so that you might find the sweetness of his presence. I've got to hurry this morning. Let us look into the last cry from the cross here again in the book of John chapter 19 and down verse number 30. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to wrap this up here this morning. Verse number 30 of John chapter 19. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The cross was all about finality. Jesus completed the work. The work on the cross was not left unfinished. The work on the cross for the plan of redemption was not left undone. Amen. It was never God's intention for the plan of salvation to fail halfway through. Amen. Jesus, I believe, had committed himself. The Bible says in one place that he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. There was nothing that would turn Jesus away from finishing the task at hand. Amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, we find where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was laboring. He was travailing. He shed the first blood. Amen. I said he shed the first blood. His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Amen. And as he began to pray, and he came literally to the point of death, I believe, because the Bible said that he prayed to be delivered from the body of this death. He offered up supplication with strong crying and with tears, and was heard in that he feared, and the angels came. Amen. The plan of God was not going to fail. No matter what the devil tried to do. There was one time they took him to a cliff and they were going to try to push him over the cliff, but he made himself scarce and departed from in their midst. There was another place the Jews were seeking to stone him in John chapter 11, and there were some that were standing there at the foot of the cross, and they said, if you're the Son of God, come on down and prove yourself. Amen. Just like the temptation on the mountain. When the devil said, cast yourself down, the angels will come and rescue you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He could have came down off of that cross and proved to the world that he was the Almighty God. But my friend, he stayed on that cross. I said, he didn't come down. He stayed there for you so that he could finish the work. Amen. He finished the plan of salvation. He didn't come down because the cross was all about finality. He took care of sin. He took care of Satan. And I might preach about this, and I'm sure your pastor has preached about it numerous times, but you understand with me that before the devil was kicked out of heaven, his name was Lucifer. He was one of the archangels. There was Lucifer, there was Gabriel, and there was Michael. Amen. And many theologians believe that they all had the same, they were all under the same authority. They had the same amount of warfaring power in their midst. And so we find over in Daniel, when he's praying and Michael is there, he's trying to get the answer to Daniel because he's fighting against the prince of, who's the prince of Persia. Come on, folks. Amen. And so Gabriel comes over and he fights with him, and they two together overcome the prince of Persia. Can I help you understand something this morning? That Jesus and your adversary are not co-equal. I said the devil is not as strong, the devil is not as big as the God that you serve. Many times we tend to lend power to the things that we fear. And sometimes when we fear our adversary because we're not walking right, because we're not prayed up, and we're afraid of our adversary, many times we lend him more power than what he has in his hand. But can I tell you that when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, he thought to himself, I'm not coming down. I'm going to finish the work. I'm going to bruise his head once and for all and fulfill the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. In verse number 15, it tells us that thy seed shall bruise his head. That's what he did on the cross, because he finished the work. Amen. He cried with a loud voice, it is finished. It was not just a cry of one dying in vain, but it was the cry of a vicar who had taken the place of the high priest. Amen. It was not just the cry of one who was raising his voice because he was in pain, but it was a cry of victory over sin. It was not just the cry of a dying victim, but it was a cry of vengeance. It is finished. Sin has been overcome. Come, the adversary has been destroyed. Amen. Death will now be swallowed up in victory. Salvation is complete. Saints are now triumphant over sin. Sinners, you have now been forgiven. It is finished.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Could we worship the Lord this morning?
Hallelujah.
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 God, we thank you for
Hallelujah.
The cross.
Hallelujah.
God, we thank you for what you did.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Glory.
The cross. It was all about finality. We can't go on. We can't go on without reading the rest of the story. In the book of Luke, chapter number 24. In the book of Luke 24 and verse number 1. Amen. Hallelujah. 24 and verse number 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And when it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining armor. As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Hallelujah. "For he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Hallelujah. I'd like to remind somebody this morning that he finished the work. And he didn't just go into that tomb, for you see, that tomb was just borrowed. It was just needed for the weekend, Pastor Chambers, because he was coming out. I said he was going to finish. Had he not come out of that grave, we would not experience the victory over sin. We would not experience the victory over our adversary. But because he is alive, because he has been glorified, my friend, we too shall be glorified one day. We shall see him as he is.
Hallelujah.
That's what the cross is all about, my friend. It doesn't matter what Hollywood, I'm going to preach this. Is this all right? It doesn't matter what Hollywood has tried to do. I understand their intentions of trying to depict what Jesus Christ went through, but they'll never depict what he went through. The Bible says his visage was marred more than any other man. I believe that his own mother had a hard time recognizing her son. Amen. But can I tell you that because he came out of that grave, now we've got victory over sin. Because we came out of that grave, there's going to come a day, and I hope I'm driving past the graveyard when that trumpet sounds. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's what the cross is all about, my friend. Stand with me all over the building. I've preached what the Lord has given me this morning. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart. The cross is for you. Sinner friend, you've never experienced the love of God. The cross is for you. Backslider, you know what it is to stand in the presence of God and feel his love. The cross was for you. Saint of God, maybe you've made a mistake. The cross is for you. 1 John chapter 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Saint of God, if you are pure and holy in the sight of God this morning, then it is nothing short of your duty to come and to thank him for the cross and to thank him. I don't know about you, but nobody has to beg me to come and worship at the foot of Calvary, because I know that cross is empty. I know that tomb is empty. And you know how I know? Because my heart is full of the presence of God. Hallelujah. If you need the cross this morning, won't you come? Come to this altar. Come and find Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, won't you come and play? Play us an old hymn, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Do you know it? Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Come on, church. Let's lift our hands this morning. If you need to find a place of repentance, let's repent this morning. If you need to find a place of strength, there's strength in the cross. If you need a high tower to run to, you can run to the cross this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands and thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Put everything inside of you. Raise hands and thank you for the victory of the cross. Be here at this altar quickly, please. Hallelujah. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.